go to Genesis chapter number 27. So I'll give you a moment after I read Romans 13 to get to Genesis chapter 27, okay? Romans chapter number 13, verse 11 says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Amen. Let's ease on over to Genesis chapter number 27. And we're going to look and begin reading at verse number 15. Verse number 15 of Genesis chapter number 27. When you have that, say, "I have the word. I'm ready to receive it." Amen. "And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, the younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goat of the goats upon his hands, and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here I am.' 'Here am I. Who art thou, my son?' And Jacob said unto his father, 'I am Esau, thy firstborn. And I have done according to as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, 'How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?' And he said, 'Because the Lord thy God brought it to me.' And Isaac said unto Jacob, 'Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not.' Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, 'The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau.' And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him." Amen. Amen. Let's stop right there. We're going to attempt to bring those two scriptures together this morning. And I want you to be patient with me. Amen. I'm trying to give it to you the way God wants, being that today, in my opinion and in my book and my sight, it is a special day for us. Amen. So it calls for a special message. Amen. And I want to use for a thought and a title, a tag on this morning, "A Time to Put On." A time to put on. Amen. Ask your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, are you putting on?" Amen. Amen. We'll leave it open for now. You don't have to answer. Amen. But when I think about the topic or the title that we discussed this morning that we're going to be talking about, when I think about putting on, I think about two things. I think about putting on garments or something of the sort. Or I think about someone who I feel is putting on an act in order to get something or to get a certain response. While both will fit the message this morning in the discussion, it doesn't matter which scenario it is, one of them I'm pretty sure will fit us. Yeah. Amen. Either we're trying to put something on or we're trying to be a put on. Right. Amen. Amen. And that's not going to be exactly what you think, but stay with me. And don't, if you get a little bored, say amen a little louder, and then I might try to do something, amen, to help you wake up. Amen. But when we look at the book of Romans, Romans is a book that was written by Paul. Basically, I like to call it the gospel according to Paul, because if you read it, you can read that book and you can find how to be saved by faith through grace. Amen. That is Paul's, it is a prize work that he wrote. And if you're a Christian, you need to learn or to read and to study the book of Romans in the New Testament, because it will absolutely help you to be able to defend your faith and to know what you believe and why you believe what you believe. Amen. If you have no other book that you will take interest in right now, I admonish you to take interest in the book of Romans. Amen. And so when we talk about this, there we look at these two things in the book of Genesis and the book of Romans, and I'm trying to take you to a place and trying to get you to see something and basically give you some type of revelation of what we should look like and what we should be doing as a child of God that makes up the body of Christ, because the Bible says that we are one body, but what? Many members, amen? And so we are members one of another, and we should compact ourselves or join ourselves together by the love that God has given us to have one toward another. Jesus said in his work and in his word, he says that people will know that you are my disciple by the love that you have one toward the other. Amen. Amen. And so what bothers me in this day and age is that we people, but there are many Christians, quote unquote, when I say Christians, I mean people who are deeming or saying or declaring themselves Christians. They don't really show the love of God that we truly need to see in this day and age. If you look around, if you just look, just check out the news. If you see some of those who continually say that they are of the right Christian faith, amen, they tend to side with people who are intolerant of others' beliefs or intolerant of other people's lifestyles, amen. And God, and I'm not saying that we should be to the point that we just accept anything, but what I'm saying is that we should be able to go to them in love rather than trying to hate them and trying to beat them down and trying to make them do something, amen. We're no greater, no better than those who are of the faiths that take people and cut their hands off and heads off unless they believe what they want them to believe. Amen. When Jesus went to the sinner, he went with love. When he went to people who were not like him, who didn't look like him, who were different ethnic background than he went in love. But we find today that Christians, when you look at Christianity today in America, it's no way about loving people who don't look like you or act like you or do what you do. It's all about loving only those who look like you and believe what you believe. And that's no good. Jesus said, what good is it for us to love those who love us? Amen. It's no good to love people who love you. It's good when you can love everybody or love people who won't love you back. Matter of fact, Jesus said, love your what? Enemies. Amen. Amen. And so we need to start to put on some of those things that Jesus has said. We need to start to bind them about our neck. When I went to Israel and I saw these people, they had these little things strapped to their head. They had some strapped to their arm, and you could ask the question, what is that? And they would take the word of God and they would strap the word of God to their head. They would bind it to their head. They would bind it to their arm, to their head. Whatever they had, they could take the word of God and make sure that they bind it. Now, in a physical sense, that's what the law said, and that looks good. But what God wants from us now is for us to bind the word of God and have it in our hearts. Come on and say amen. And so when we talk about this and when we look at it, I want you to keep in mind what we need to put off in order so that we can put on. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says, and let me go ahead and get in so I won't be too long here. The Bible in Romans chapter 13, this particular book here, it has it talks about how we ought to act in society, how we ought to act to the powers that are ordained, the powers that be. It also tells us our conduct that we should have, and that we should owe no man anything except to what? Love them. Amen. And he says to us that love, in verse number 10, he said, love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. So whenever somebody comes to you about what the law is, somebody comes to you and talk about, you need to be able to keep the law. You need to tell them, I keep the law of love, because that is fulfilling the whole law. Come on and say amen. Now, verse 11 here, it says, and that knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. Paul here discusses time. He begins to talk about time. And when he talks about time here, we got to understand that there are two major Greek words that most of the time are referred to when it comes to time. There's one word that is chronos, where we talk about the time that we have on the clock. When we, you know how you do when I'm preaching long, you look at what time it is to see whether or not, oh boy, he's gonna keep talking until the chicken place get filled up and I'm gonna have to wait in line. That's chronos time. You know how we look at time, where I need to go because the game is football season again and the game is about to come on. Come on, pastor, put it in the shade. You need to close out so we can go home. Amen. We have that chronos time, and that we look at things in chronological order. Amen. In other words, how it played out in the place of time. But then there is another word that is called kairos, which means a moment, it means a season, or it means an opportunity. Amen. And so when we look at this, Paul is not talking about chronos. He's not talking about time on the clock. But he's talking about a season, a moment, or an opportunity here. Amen. When he's talking, he's saying in verse number 11, he said, knowing that this is the time or the moment, the season or the opportunity that is a specific part of the time or a specific moment in the season, a specific moment in the opportunity that we need to awake. Amen. It's kind of like we need to wake up in the morning. You set your clock at a specific time. I need to wake up in the middle of the night so I can do something. We set our clock so we can get up at a certain amount of time. Paul is saying, set your alarm clock. You need to get up. You need to wake up out of your sleep. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking to those of us. He's saying that it is high time for us who have been lazy and lax, because days are cold, those who have been laid back as Christians, it's time for us to wake up. We have not been aggressive enough. Come on and say amen. We have not been aggressive enough, but let me say something here. He says that he begins to rebuke us. He said, it's high time for us to wake up out of our sleep. We have been too lethargic, too non-aggressive, too lazy. We have been in the category as which we have been sleeping, and we have not did what God wanted us to do. We have not lived as God wanted us to live. We are like the church at Sardis, according to Romans, Revelations 3:1. The church at Sardis, he said that thou has a name that thou livest, and you're really dead. In other words, we are not effective in our Christian walk. When was the last time you had take your Christianity and affected somebody's life? When was the last time you prayed for somebody and they said, man, that prayer, I really appreciate that. Huh? Come on and say amen. When was the last time that we took a word to somebody and encouraged them? And they said, you know, I was just about to destroy this. I was just about to kill myself. I was just about to give up. And here you came with this word that encouraged me. Amen. He's saying to us that we need to awaken out of our resting phase. We rest too much. And that's what we do now. We got to go to work and then we got to rest. We ain't got time for God. We got to rest. We got to rest. We got to rest some more. All the time. I'm talking about rest, but there will be a time to rest. Jesus said that it is time for us to work. He said, work while it's what? Day, because no man can work when it's night. In other words, when it's resting time, you can't work. Amen. And so we need to work, amen? And so he begins to tell us that we need to look at the time. We need to take and seize the opportunity and begin to do what God wants us to do, amen? But look at this, what he says. He goes on, he says, to wake out of sleep, he said, but now is, for our salvation is nearer than when we first, when we believed, amen? So from the first time you believe, your salvation is nearer, amen? In other words, it's closer to the coming of Jesus Christ, amen? We need to see that he's anticipating something. He's anticipating the promise of salvation. There are three tenses. If we look at that and really examine this, we'll see it in three tenses. The past tense is that in our salvation, in the past tense, we were justified. He removed guilt, he removed sin and the penalty thereof, and he bestowed on us a righteousness that we did not have before we believed and confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Amen. The second tense here is the present tense. It is the process and the present tense of the process of sanctification in our life and continuous process in which the Holy Spirit puts our life in order and he produces the fruit of the Spirit, gradually conforming us into the image of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but see, we've too long, all we always say is that I just want to get to heaven. I just want to be a good Christian. Christian in my heart. I just want to get to heaven. You know what David said? I want to wake up in your image. Oh, come on and say amen. We need to start saying, not that I just want to get to heaven, because that's going to be easy. All you got to do is die. But it's hard to live in this life and say, I want to walk in the image of Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be. That's what we need to be saying, is that I want to be in his image. Come on and say amen. We need to be an image of the image of Jesus Christ. And that's not, and that's why when the Bible says all have sinned and fallen what? Short, amen. When he says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, what that means is that you're falling short of looking like Jesus. Come on and say amen. You're falling short of his glory. You're not looking like him in your situation. When things come in your life and you do the fool and you act up and you put on your clown suit and you start acting like Bozo and Cookie and homing the clown and all of them, and you start doing stuff you shouldn't do, that is not becoming Christ. That is not the image of him. So we got to stop doing those things, and we got to stop acting out in a way that don't become Christ. Amen here. And so we need to do this. We need to learn how to allow the Spirit to make changes in our life and begin to show us how the fruit of the Spirit should manifest in our life. What's the fruit? The first thing is that we got to learn love. Love is the fruit, amen? Love has a character, amen? Love has patience, love has joy, love has long-suffering, love has meekness, love has what? Temperance, because you can control yourself when you love something, amen, or somebody. You love your children. You're not just gonna do them any kind of way, so you're able to control. Even when you're mad at them, you still do what you're supposed to do. That's called temperance, so love is temperance. So if we can get love, if we can get that idea of love in our minds and in our hearts, then we can fulfill the works of God. Amen? Amen. And so here we are. He says that the third thing is that we have the past, which is the justification, the present, which is the sanctification, and the future, which is the glorification. The transformation of our bodies in the rapture and to become a perfect body, a new person, having a glorified body the same as Jesus Christ. Paul said it like this. We got the anticipation of not looking like this all our life. You worried about how you look and you're depressed about how you look and you don't like the way you look. You don't like your hips, your lips, your hair, your legs, nothing. You're complaining about that. We need to love ourselves first before we can love others. Come on and say amen. But Paul said to us, he said that I don't know what we should be, but we're going to look like him. Come on and say amen. Amen. So the time of final blessing, the time of salvation is here. And so Paul begins to rebuke us in verse 11 as he says that it's high time. He said that we need to wake up out of our slumber, out of our sleep, and start living a better Christian life. Do I have any witnesses here? He said that we need to come out of it. And he says, look at this, let's go further. He says that for the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Paul is declaring to us that we need to armor up. We need to put on the light of God's word. Amen. We need to be lit up. We need to do what grandmama said. We need to let our light shine. May not shine like yours, but I'm going to let it shine. We need to make sure our light shine. When I used to have a friend that worked up at the paper mill when I worked there. And when he'd see me, he said, boy, I see you lit up. He said, do you see me lit up? Every time he walk up, he said, I see you lit up. Do you see me lit up? He said, we got to let this light shine. It's dark out there. And so we got to learn how to let our light shine to make sure people understand. Don't get me mistaken for somebody else. Don't get me mistaken for somebody in the world. Make sure that people know that I am a child of God. You can't get me mistaken for, come on and say amen. And I'm just using this for an example. You can't mistake me for a thug because I'm a child of God. Amen. Because I'm going to let you see and show you who I am. I'm not going to dress like, act like, fashion myself like the world. The Bible says for us in Romans chapter 12, the chapter before this, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our what? Reasonable service. And he says this so we can know the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Amen. Then he tells us to be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of our minds. Your mind need to be right. Amen. So we need to put on armor of light. When he talks about the armor of light, what is he talking about? And I used to, you know, we used to do this all the time. People used to always say, oh, we in spiritual warfare. Come on, let's get our spiritual war clothes on. Come on, let's put on our helmet. And people put on their helmet. Come on, let's take our sword and let's get our shield. And we marching for Jesus and we're soldiers. But what we really need to understand, what that's really all about, he's saying that we need to put on, first we need to put off some stuff. We need to put off some wicked thinking. We need to put off some attitudes. We need to put off some stuff. And he said, put on the armor of light. What is that armor? That armor is Jesus Christ. How do you say that? I'm saying that because who is your salvation? Jesus. Who is your righteousness? Your breastplate? Jesus. Who is the truth? Jesus. Who is the peace? The Prince of Peace? Jesus. I wish I had somebody. Who is faith? Jesus. Because I can't see him, but I know he's there. I wish I had somebody. Who is the sword of the Spirit? Jesus. And so he tells us that all we need is the Lord. As long as I got King Jesus. Come on and say amen here. He tells us to walk honestly in the day. He said everybody's looking. They can see who you are. They can see what you're doing. So you need to make sure that in the daytime, while they're looking, that you're not doing stuff you shouldn't be doing. You're not rioting and living in drunkenness. He's telling us we need to be sober. He said don't be chambering. In other words, don't be just laying up. Come on and say amen. Don't be wanting. Don't be in strife and envying. In other words, we as church people, we may not do some of that other stuff. We may be sober, but we can get in some strife easy. We can get mad with people for no reason. We do not want to speak to them for just any little old thing. We let people in the world treat us like a dog, but we come to church and somebody don't speak to us right, we mad. Come on and say amen here. We got to get out of that. When somebody don't do how we want it done, when we want it done, they don't let us do this. We got to get past that, because all that strife, it breeds up a whole bunch of bitterness and anger, and all we can do then is fuss with one another. We can't walk in love. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they agree? I'm not going to agree to be in strife with you. I'm going to be walking in love. And so you, if you don't like me, if you hate me, if you're into me, you're just going to have to end me, because I'm going to still love you. All that love talk, all that stuff he do, I don't like all that hugging. Well, you need to, because something's wrong with you. You got so much anger in you. I'm trying to love the hell out of you. Come on and say, man, I need to try to help you. I'm here to try to show you who Jesus is. If Jesus walked up to you wouldn't like him either, because he wouldn't look like you want him to look. He wouldn't act like you want him to look. So I got you. I understand you got a problem. We don't have it. You're the hallelujah. Striving with one another, envying one another. In other words, just disliking people just because. Got to stop disliking people just because. They ain't done you nothing. Something just ain't right. You know what ain't right? You. The attitude you got ain't right. You trying to dig up, I'm finding out what's wrong. Something. I'm fine. I'm gonna Google them and see what it is. We got our spiritual Google on. trying to find out. I'm going to their Facebook page. I'm finna check them out. You know, we gotta stop that. All I wanna know is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? And maybe they got some stuff on their page from last year and they wasn't saved. And you, I seen on their. No. You stop that. And you got to understand that we can't envy people just because we got to love, because envy breeds this jealousy. That old green-eyed monster. That jealousy. When you got that. When you got envy in your heart, it ain't nothing people can do that make you, ain't nothing you can do to make people like you. Amen. And so we got to stop that. We got to, as children of God, we got to take off darkness and put on what? Light. Amen. Light. We got to light up the place. We got to, if you light up something, you expose what's in the room. Come on and say amen. So I came this morning just to bring some light to a situation so we can see what's in the room. When you got somebody that walk in the dark room and they came from a lighted place and they walk in the dark room, they can't see. They have to stop for a minute so they can try to get their eyes on focus, because they don't know if they're in the room. They don't know what's in the room. They don't know the danger that's in the room. That's why it's best for us to always have a light. The dirtiest place in your house is right around your light switch. Uh-huh, because every time you come in, you reach for it. Amen. And so we can't walk in darkness. We ought to love the light. And you know, when somebody's, and we got to understand something, can't get mad when we shine the light in people's face when they've been sleeping. You got people who are Christians that have been what? Sleeping, as just said. The text said they're sleeping. We can't get mad when they get mad with us because we just flipped the light on. But we want you to wake up. That's why I'm doing it. That's why I'm flipping the light on. That's why I'm putting it in your face. I'm making sure that you see we need to stop some things, take off some things, and put on some things. He said, take off darkness, put on light. And in verse 14, he begins to tell us that we need to put on Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the flesh. The reason we need to do this is because salvation is near. We need to make sure that we take off darkness and we put on what? Light. And so when we put on light, we're putting on Christ. We should put Him on so that we don't make provision for the flesh. What is He saying? He's saying don't be like everybody else, and all they want to do is make provision for what they have in this life. All they want is material things. I want money, I want a man, and I want a mansion. Come on and say amen. I want wealth, I want women, and I want my wine so I can chill out. That's me. And so we got to get past that and say that's all we want. We got to want something more, because that is something greater that God has to offer to us. Come on and say amen here. We need to know God is greater than that. God offers to us something that we cannot get. We can't buy it with money. We cannot do good enough to get it. But what we can do is believe God that He can give us what we need. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so we got to put on Jesus. A lot of times we put on, but we don't put on the right thing. Amen. We put on stuff. Amen. And you know, as I said earlier, when I asked the question, neighbor, are you putting on? We got to understand something. We got to either be putting on the right stuff, amen, or we got to be putting on. Amen. Sometimes it's okay to put on as long as you're putting on until you become what you're putting on. Amen. In other words, we got to learn how to act around people. We got to learn how to act when it comes to coming into the presence of the Lord. Amen. We got to learn how to act. And so when we learn how to act, when we learn how to put on, we learn how to do what Jesus did. In other words, I practice doing this so that I can become better at it. I practice being a Christian. I practice loving. I practice forgiving. You know why you keep having people being offending you? You keep having people come against you and you got to keep on forgiving them? It's because you ain't there yet. God just keeps sending that stuff your way so that you can keep forgiving, so that you can practice. If you didn't have somebody lie on you, Lord have mercy. I'm just going to talk to y'all, because if you didn't have somebody lie on you, you never would know how to forgive. If they didn't come back and do it again, you wouldn't know how to do what Jesus said when He said do it 7 times in a day. When they come to you over and over and they do stuff and you say, this is the last time, God said, no, it ain't. You just don't know. When you wake up in the morning, I got somebody else that's gonna come to your life and you ain't gonna like what they're gonna do or say, but you're gonna have to forgive them if you wanna be like me. So what God is doing, he's bringing the pain, because without pain, there's no gain. He's bringing that stuff in our life so that we can be more like him. There is some necessary stuff that we must deal with that we may not like, but it makes us a better Christian because we learn now how to have joy in the midst of sorrow, how to have peace in the midst of the storm. He teaches us through much tribulation, we come into the kingdom. In other words, we become the subjects of the kingdom because now we know how to pledge our allegiance to the king and live like kingdom people are supposed to, rather than doing what we want to do. Amen. I know y'all don't like that. Amen. But that's all right. I don't like it either, but that's what it is. Tribulation, the Bible says, works patience. And I told somebody the other day, he was talking about, I need some patience. I just pray that.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Pimpty, Louisiana, 714.